Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We talked a lot in the first hour about the double standards involving masks. Masks for thee, not for me. I'm going to the Emmy Awards in a beautiful dress, so I don't need to wear a mask. We'll get back to that. And we also have a lot of stories to get to involving Joe Biden. There's so many disasters that are unfolding. And to their credit, the mainstream media is really giving him a tough time about... No, I'm just kidding. They're saying that these are, you know, these are disasters that are out of his control. Wait till I read you that headline from the AP. These people are shameless. And you know what? To be fair, you dance with the... What's the old expression, Jared? You dance with the person you brought to the dance. They brought Joe Biden into the White House, and they're going to finish off this dance, no matter even if the gym's on fire. It's really pathetic how they're standing by him, and... He's not an easy sell at this point. He's making it tough. You know, he's had a history of hair sniffing and forgetting where he is. But lately, turning his back on them at all times has made it hard for the media to put a shine on Joe Biden. We will get to all of that. But there's a story, a local story from Needham. And I'm bringing on now the director of outreach from the Parents Defending Education. She's been on this show before. She's fabulous on Twitter at eSanzi. And you can check out her Substack as well. Erica, thank you so much for joining the program.
Thanks for having me, Grace.
All right. Now, Erica, let's set this scene for my listeners. How did, and I know that there's different pieces here. I know people can check out some of your writing on this. But how did Needham High School end up in Breitbart News? What was the catalyst here that got people and parents specifically worried about Needham High School?
So my organization, Parents Defending Education, received several submissions in the afternoon and evening on the first day of school in Needham. And the submissions came to us from parents that were concerned about what their children had experienced on the first day of school. And so, and then my suspicion is that Breitbart saw what we had up on our website. Maybe they saw it from our Twitter or social media. I actually don't know. And unsurprisingly, a lot of media did not pick it up, and they did pick it up. So I'm grateful to you for being one of the only local media outlets that has, you know, decided to at least have a conversation about it. And basically what happened is the principal, and I should say, by the way, we reached out to Needham High School over 2 weeks ago now, just asking them to confirm and also comment. And we received a response that they weren't, you know, from the principal, that he wasn't willing to put anything in writing or have any conversation on email, but that he would call me, and he did not ever call me. But essentially, the principal of the high school introduced himself on the very first day of school as a white, privileged, straight male. He went on to show what parents and students thought was a video that was connected to or affiliated with Black Lives Matter. Students reported that there were signs all over classrooms and hallways and doors that said, Black Lives Matter, Stop Asian Hate, and We Welcome Refugees. And again, by the way, even if I were to house refugees in my house right now, that wouldn't change the fact that that's just an overtly political statement plastered all over a public high school. Students were told that they weren't allowed to use the word freshman anymore, that they needed to use the term ninth graders.
And all of this is happening, Erica, in lieu of, I don't know, actual education. Like, all of this virtue signaling is happening as opposed to setting up what they're actually going to teach the kids over the year. I don't know whether that be math or history. It seems like there's a huge focus, and not just this school, but in a lot of these schools, on virtue signaling and on brainwashing these kids into buying into your political beliefs, whatever they might be.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely sent the message that there's an ideological bent to the school and that students best get in line. We've certainly heard from more parents since the Breitbart story ran. And again, my question, of course, is, like, if the principal's going to get up and say that he's a white, privileged, straight male, I have to ask myself, so he's painting it as if that's something to be ashamed of. Are the students sitting in the seats listening to him supposed to feel shame if they check those boxes? And then are the students who don't check those boxes supposed to now be wary of their peers who do? I mean, I don't know why it's appropriate for kids to come home on the first day of school already able to tell their parents over dinner what the sexual orientation is of their new principal.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I was talking to a woman a few weeks ago who said to me that she has sons who are in high school and they're white males. And she said, you know, at a certain point, you start hearing this group matters, this group matters. And then you do start to, whether you realize it or not, start thinking, well, do I matter? Like, is there something wrong with me? Why am I the bad guy in all these situations? And we've been hearing about schools making white men raise their hands and they have to answer. They get to answer questions second, like, because the women have to answer first. It's all of these things. And it seems like, Erica, it just divides people.
It absolutely divides people, and it also causes people to, they're almost being taught to make judgments about others based on their immutable characteristics.
Right.
That I should be wary of someone or distrust somebody because of some immutable characteristic with which they were born, or that I should feel shame or guilt because of some immutable characteristic. So it's very concerning, and the fact that we heard from a number of parents on the first day of school tells me that, and by the way, though, interestingly, and sort of sadly, but at the moment, you know, parents want to remain anonymous. And they've said that they want to remain anonymous because they've seen what happens to people who speak out in this community. So that's also a concern, that the pressure in the community is such that parents are upset and concerned, but they come to my organization for support and help because of the retaliation that they fear if they speak out publicly.
Yeah, and I think that's a very, very common problem here, is that people are afraid they're going to be canceled or they're going to be painted as a racist, so they choose to go about it anonymously. But I do think at a certain point, people just have to lose that. You know, you have to lose that fear and just stand up for your kids. Now, Erica, I did want to ask you something a little bit. It's on the same type of thing, but it's a little off topic here. As far as the former FDA commissioner coming out and saying that the 6 feet rule was arbitrary, I know as someone who is trying to make sure that kids get a good education and school goes back to normal, a lot of these schools were jumping through hoops trying to accommodate these wacky rules about plexiglass and 6 feet apart and hand sanitizer and masking. And now we're finding out that it was arbitrary. How frustrating is that for people who were, you know, hell-bent on getting kids back to school, that the FDA is basically just making things up and seeing what sticks?
Well, it's incredibly frustrating. I mean, to those of us that have been following it, we sort of knew this to be the case because we knew that the CDC director had already lobbied for a 3 feet in her own community of Newton. But then we saw the documents where the teachers' unions were the ones pushing for, pressuring the Biden administration, demanding 6 feet, because they knew then that school would be much more difficult to keep open if you required 6 feet. So it's incredibly demoralizing, and it also just shows that this has become so politicized that it's really difficult for parents now to know what to believe and who to believe when public health, unfortunately, now is hyper-political.
Yeah, and it does make you question these teachers' unions. I've never been a big fan of them, but the fact that they were lobbying, basically, like you said, to make it more difficult to keep schools open, they don't have the children's best interests at heart at this point. I think that's become very clear. Eric Asanzi, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people read your Substack, and where can they check out your organization?
So the name of my Substack is Sanzi Says. I forget the exact address, so if somebody puts in Sanzi and Substack, they'll find me. And then our organization is at defendinged.org. And people, if you have a parents group that you want people to learn more about, you can let us know and we'll put it up on our map. And if you have concerns about something happening in your school district, you can submit a report and we will look into it and see if there's corroboration, and in which case then we'll get it up on our website.
Erica, I think you're
right. We also have lots of resources for parents too. So if anybody needs help or support, please reach out and we will help you as much as we can.
I think you're going to get a lot of hot tips after this. I mean, I've had people come in here, VIPs, and if you open up the idea of, you know, schools and woke curriculums and brainwashing, people go on and on for hours about, you know, the lessons their kids bring home, the books they bring home, what their teacher said,
yep.
You know, voting for, oh, who are you going to vote for? Are you voting for Biden or Trump? I've heard the craziest stories, and that's just from talking about it in a random VIP experience. So I can't imagine how many parents are out there who are just dying to give you some hot tips. 844-500-4242. That's Erica Sanzi. Thank you so much for coming on the show. By the way, everyone, the Tour of Italy wine dinners are back this fall at Aviva Trattoria. Join Chef Anthony DePalma, the Aviva Culinary Team, and Martinetti Wines for a four-course wine dinner featuring food and wines from various regions of Italy. I had a wonderful time at this wine dinner with my sister. There was a guitar player. There was these delicious wines, and Chef Anthony came out. He explained all the different regions and the inspiration for the dishes. Of course, there was the tiramisu, which really seals the deal for a great night. And it was just a fabulous experience. And the part of it that I couldn't get over was the price point. I mean, this is a really affordable way to have a luxurious, fun, festive night out. And that's what everybody wants to do. Tomorrow's Tour of Italy wine dinner at Aviva in Wrentham is sold out. And I'm sorry to say that because I know people are going to go, oh, damn, I should have hopped on it. But a list of all the Aviva events are on their homepage at avivatrattoria.com. So it's not too late to get on board for some other events. So make sure you go to avivatrattoria.com and look at that list of events. Find something that works for you, something you can look forward to this fall. It is a really fun night, and I'm trying to get on board for another one soon. That's avivatrattoria.com. Check out those events. We will be back, 844-500-4242. I want to talk about all of these disasters unfolding in the Biden administration and whether or not these are events that are out of Joe's control. I mean, they are out of his control in the sense that he has no idea what's going on. But
my mind's going blank now.
But these are man-made issues. You know, the righteous drone strike that actually ended up being the deadly drone strike that killed a bunch of civilians, that didn't happen out of thin air. That was people making decisions. We'll be back, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
There's a lot of talk about what's happening in Del Rio, Texas, as there should be. Fox News got in trouble by our nanny, Joe Biden, when they were flying drones over and capturing the footage of thousands of Haitians just crossing the border. We don't have borders anymore. It's a thing of the past. It's so passé, man, to have all these borders protecting our nation. And while that's all happening, I know what everyone was thinking. Where is the border czar? Where is the woman, the vice president, who was meant to get to the root of all of these issues? Well, Don't worry. I mean, it's not like she was at the beach like Joe Biden. She was boots on the ground. She was figuring this out In fact, she attended a college football game Saturday between Howard and Hampton at Audi Field in Washington, D.C., and she did the coin toss. She did the coin toss. So I think we've got to the root of this issue. I think we can put this one to bed. I feel better. I hope you guys feel better, too. I did want to play this as a follow-up here. We were talking about kids having to wear the masks. And in Carol Markowitz's latest in the New York Post, she says, in November 2020, President Donald Trump said, look at the data. The spread from children among children is not very big at all. Not like one would have suspected. Actually, it wasn't Trump who said that, but it was Dr. Anthony Fauci. So let me try it again. Actually, look at the data. The spread from children and among children is not very big at all. Not like one would have suspected. Can we play that, Jared?
There have been a number of studies to show that when you have children that are a certain age, namely above eighth grade and higher, that they transmit as easily as adults transmit. Whereas younger children, even though they have virus in their nasopharynx when they get infected, they do not transmit as readily. So for that reason, you want to focus on that group, the K to 8 group. But there are some data that suggests that.
But despite that data, despite that science, let's keep forcing the masks on kids who have breathing problems on airplanes, and let's delay all of the people on the plane and have the cops walk off the mother and the son because he's probably not a super spreader. This is the world we live in. It's complete madness. Dan, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dan. You there, Dan?
Yes, sir. Ma'am, I'm sorry.
No worries. Go ahead.
How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Well, I live in New Hampshire. And I live in a very, New Hampshire's a unique community. It's a unique state. It says that we live free or die, but that's a bunch of crap. It's probably one of the most politically, it's abstract. And I live in, I live in Northwood, New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. You know where this is?
I don't.
And you don't? There is a school in town that is called Cobrown. It's a private yet public high school. So basically, there are kids from the outskirting county or towns that can come in if they pay.
Okay.
But if you live in Northwood, then you can go there for free.
Right.
And so it basically what they're doing is they're doing exactly what you're talking about, is that they're slowly trying to manipulate and almost brainwash the parents through their kids. And it's not, because your kids are the most important thing to you. And so when you come home from school and you tell your mother or father, hey, this is what happened at school today, then the mother and father, they make opinions in their head, but they don't go to the school board meetings. They don't go to anything that could really make a difference. And my question, I have a question for you. How are we going to deal with this public school situation?
Yeah, and Dan, I understand your point. I do think people have to get more involved. I actually met a woman in Milton a few weeks ago who was part of the school board town committee, and she doesn't even have children. And I thought that was the coolest thing because she cares enough to care about other people's kids and what the younger generation is learning. And parents do have to get involved. You have to know what your kids are learning, and you have to teach your kids to love their country and to care about this big thing. You know, you can talk about the woke curriculum and all of that, but what this entire COVID situation has really showed me, and it's something that happens a lot, you see it in cults, you see it in these bad situations, is that people are really sad, and a lot of people want to be part of something. And when people don't feel connected, whether it be to their family or to their community or to their team or to their school, whatever it is, a lot of times people get desperate to pick up a cause or to have something to rely on. And when you see these people who have made their personalities being scared of COVID, something's missing. You know, something is really missing. And so what I encourage people to do is to get involved, to teach your kids the great parts about American history, to teach them the bad parts, too. There's nothing wrong with that. But to give them hope. And I noticed this when I was watching all the videos on the 9/11 anniversary. We can't forget what a wonderful country we live in and how many brave people there are. That's important. You have to pass that on to the next generation, because the teachers, not all of them, but a good amount, aren't going to teach them that. We'll be right back with more of your calls, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Sometimes you're better off laughing than getting angry. And when I look at this cut sheet, Jared, I just laugh. I mean, the mayor of San Francisco talking about how she had to take her mask off because Tony was back together. And then I have another cut on here. Capitol Police arrest undercover FBI agent at Justice for J6 rally. We'll get into that. And then Chuck Todd. I mean, it's just my cup runneth over with this nonsense. And it would take a heart of stone. I mean, that's all I can say. Let's go to Steve. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, Grace. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
We had the pleasure of meeting at one of Howie's deplorable shows in Malden a couple of years ago.
Oh, awesome. I'm glad you were able to come, Steve. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, you were mentioning about the FDA person saying that the 6 feet rule was so arbitrary. And I'm a school bus driver up here in New Hampshire. And it's, you know, I see firsthand the effects of, you know, what the schools have to go through. And, of course, all the money they have to spend and how it's affecting the tax rates here. And, you know, I mean, in addition to that, every single retail business, all what they've had to go through, all spending all that money, you know, for plexiglass shields.
You're right, Steve. And when you see that. And there was a really good video at the start, not at the start, but during COVID, of this restaurant owner, and he was so frustrated. You could hear it in his voice, because he buys all this crap because they tell him you got to organize the tables like this, and then you got to put up the plexiglass, and then inside, outside, and then keep the doors open, keep the windows open, but also you're shut down. And he just was so sick of it. He was broken. It was like they were trying to make this so hard for everyone. And then when you hear Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, when they're back from their vacations, they come back and they talk about how their big budget plans are going to help these businesses or help schools. It's like, you're helping them from a problem that you created. In case anyone's missing that, it would be like an electrician showing up to your house, knocking out all the lights, and then saying, by the way, I can fix your lights for you. Yeah, but you just broke them all. So maybe if you just hadn't come in here and ruined everything, I wouldn't need you and I wouldn't need to spend all of this money. But now they're saying the only way we're going to fix all this is by more government spending, and we need more help from Joe Biden and the rest. And it's complete nonsense. We have that clip, by the way, of the former FDA commissioner talking about how this was arbitrary. It's his name's Gottlieb, and listen to him talking. This is pretty amazing.
And the 6 feet is a perfect example of sort of the lack of rigor around how CDC made recommendations. Nobody knows where it came from. Most people assume that the 6 feet of distance, the recommendation for keeping 6 feet apart, comes out of some old studies related to flu, where droplets don't travel more than 6 feet. We now know COVID spreads through aerosols. The initial recommendation that the CDC brought to the White House, and I talk about this, was 10 feet. And a political appointee in the White House said, we can't recommend 10 feet. Nobody can measure 10 feet. It's inoperable. Society will shut down. So the compromise was around 6 feet.
And you know what's funny is 203 points out, it's funny how the left, there's always holding up Europe as how things should be done, except for this COVID business where we have to mask two-year-olds and Europe doesn't. That's a really great point. And I was talking with a few people over the weekend, and one of them had worked in a London office. And we were just talking about how if you watch like some of the UK news, you get better news than you do here. And they can look at this a little bit more rationally, because here we look at everything through this tunnel vision of Donald Trump. And I'm telling you, half this stuff, if Trump had wanted us to lock down, we would have never locked down. If Trump had wanted schools to stay shut down, they would have all been open by now. But these people are so twisted from what they think they're getting at Donald Trump for, that they want to keep this going on forever. I used to always say that about people who wear the masks, like as a form of, I voted for Joe Biden, I'm wearing my mask. It's like, do you think Donald Trump, do you think you're getting back at him? He's at Mar-a-Lago, he's golfing. He's eating a cheeseburger and a Diet Coke. He's not worried about the fact that you have your mask on when you sleep at night, okay? It's just, and over there, they're looking at two-year-olds and they're going, we're not going to mask them. That's nonsense. We're not going to keep them home from school. That's crazy. And what was interesting was with Afghanistan, with the botched withdrawal, it was kind of, you saw the willingness of how far, you saw how far these countries were willing to go to back Joe Biden. I think they liked a little bit of the, oh, America is back. Oh, Joe Biden's here, because they knew that he'd go easy on them. You know, he wouldn't make them pay their dues. He wouldn't be as big of a pain as Donald Trump was to them. He wouldn't do his job, essentially. He wouldn't stand up for America. So it makes sense they all liked him so much. But they're not willing to go along with his nonsense once they're in jeopardy. You know, once he creates a problem for them, that's where they draw the line. They're not as politically dedicated to the Democrats as the Democrats in the mainstream media are here. There's too much at stake for them. They're like, yeah, we supported you when we just thought you were an old doddering fool and you were going to be nice to us. But now you're actually messing things up. So now we might have to back off of this and call you out. It's a very, very interesting thing. Let's do Jerry. Jerry, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jerry.
Thank you for taking my call. So the reason I called in is when you made the statement that and people that don't have children in school should become involved. Well, I am one of those people. My children might not be in school, but my tax dollars go to school every single day. And people that are out there that have children out of school, you have grandchildren, you have nieces, you have nephews, you need to get involved, because the government is taking away the decisions that mommy and daddy should be making for their children. We just had an incident here in Haverhill today. A friend's four children were dismissed from school for wearing non-compliant masks. So what are non-compliant masks when the DESE hasn't mandated what type of compliant mask to wear? Just recommendations. So four kids were sent out of school today.
It's shameful, Jerry, and I'm glad you brought up that point about caring about it because of your tax dollars. I actually said the same thing when I had met this woman. I had met her in Quincy, but she's from Milton, and she told me, you know, I'm part of I write in to the newspaper, I'm part of the school committee, and I don't have any kids, but, you know, my tax money goes there. And I said to her, you know, I love Milton, I do, and I was raised in Milton, I had a wonderful childhood, and I would like to stay there. I would like to have raised my kids there someday, and I would like to send them to the schools that I'm paying for. But I don't know if I would right now with all of this wokeness. And I think you're right, because I thought about it myself and I said, I really should join this. I really should go. I really should help this woman out. She's fighting for something. And just because she doesn't have kids there, you're right. We're all affected by all of this at some point. These kids that are being brainwashed are someday going to be the lawyers and the doctors of the world. They're going, you are the future, as that song goes. So we all should be more invested in this. And I thank you, Jerry, for caring as much as you do and for that wonderful call. Daniel, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hey, Grace. Daniel from Manchester. Hey, I'm just a shout out for our primary in Manchester. A lot of us conservatives are getting together and endorsing our conservative school board members that we have up on for election for primary tomorrow. Plus our new mayor to get rid of our Democratic mayor out of our city.
Well, good luck, Daniel, and thanks for giving them a little bit of a plug. Yeah, we need more sane people on all of these things, on town committees, on school committees. And that is one positive of COVID. I hate to even say that. But if there is a silver lining to be found, it's that people are very aware now of how incompetent things are. You know, like, I think we all knew, we all joked about it. But seeing it in real life is just nuts. Bob, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Grace, thanks for taking my call. Talk about the masks.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was up at Old Orchard Beach on Labor Day weekend, and there was a woman in the pool next to the hotel I stayed at, swimming, doing the doggy paddle, wearing a mask.
No.
I have a picture of it. I could send it to you if I had your email.
Grace at HowieCarshow.com. Yep. Or you know what? Because I'm doing the Grace Curley Show right now, let's do Grace at GraceCurleyShow.com. Please send me that photo. See, this actually started happening in New York, Bob, where they were talking about how the pools were being opened in New York and in New York City and Gotham, as a lot of people call it. And they were talking about how you had to have your mask on the pool deck, and then you could take it off when you were swimming. Oh, the relief. And I kept thinking to myself, so how does that work? Because it's going to be like a bunch of dirty Band-Aids floating around in a New York City public pool. Have you ever heard of anything less enticing in your life? But I guess the flip side of that is you can just wear the mask while you swim. Now, here's a question, Bob. Was she dunking underneath?
No, she was. She had her head above. She was doing the doggy paddle back and forth in the pool, but there was no one around and no one else on the pool deck or anything. Took the picture out of my hotel room.
Did she have a life jacket on?
No, she did not, surprisingly.
She should have. If this is her level of risk assessment, she should probably consider a life jacket. Thank you for the call, Bob. I appreciate it. That's bananas. And the one people always reference is people driving in their cars with their masks on. That doesn't even faze me anymore. Because Uber drivers have to have them on. And other people, I don't know. It's the part of it that drives me crazy. There's a lot of parts of it that drive me crazy, but I just hate how the same people who put the masks on so willingly when they go into the grocery store or when they're driving in their car to show you how wonderfully woke they are, they have no problem. Like, if their kid has a fancy wedding or if they have a fancy gala to go to, they have no problem taking off the mask then. It's just whenever it's convenient for them. It's just whenever they feel like virtue signaling, you know, or feel like showing off. Oh, look at them. I'm part of the working world. I have my mask on. And then the Marie Antoinettes go, oh, but this is a big event, so I'm going to take it off now. If that's okay. I'm wearing a gown tonight, so I'm going to take my mask off. It's whatever they want it to be is what it is. And it just is. It's very frustrating. 844-500-4242. All right. So far, we've hit a lot of things. We've been focused on the mask today, but we have so much more to go over. We have to talk about Del Rio. Miranda Devine has a really great piece in the New York Post. I will be reading that. We are going to talk about Joe Biden's very, very bad weekend. And also, coming up next, I want to save enough time for it. We are going to do a journalism in the news. We haven't done this in quite some time. So you have that to look forward to. 844-500-4242. We will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and for the boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
This is one of my favorite bumpers. Jackson 5. All right, now before we get to journalism in the news, today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. I have an appointment in a couple of weeks. Very excited. You're not usually looking forward to going to the dentist, but I look forward to going to see Dr. Bruce Houghton because he's just excellent. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
If you were forced to attend, which sophisticated event would you choose? Obama's birthday, the Met Gala, the Emmys, or a jazz club with London Breed.
The Met Gala, you're probably going to get lectured on your white privilege from Megan Rapinoe. You're going to be lectured about paying your fair share by AOC. You're going to be lectured about God knows what from Bill de Blasio. So I'm going to pass on the Met. The Emmys just looked gag-worthy. I mean, people celebrating, giving each other trophies, the staff wearing masks, the celebrities not wearing masks. Obama's super spreader, no interest. No interest whatsoever. Now, the jazz club... Normally, I would pass on that as well, Jared, but there's an exception to be made here because according to San Francisco Mayor London Breed, who was seen singing and dancing and having a great time with the jazz club band, it was a monumental moment because cut three.
The fact is there was something that was really monumental that occurred, and that is Tony. The original members, the brothers, Rafael Saadiq and Dwayne Wiggins, who have not performed in public for, I believe, at least over 20 years. They are just really some of the most incredible artists in the history of this country and the Bay Area in particular.
So I'm going to have to choose the jazz club because it's obviously a monumental, historic, sophisticated gathering. I'm going to choose the jazz club.
The jazz club is in the lead at 59%, 16% for the Emmys, 13% for Obama's birthday, and 12% for the Met Gala.
All right, without further ado, it is time for Journalism in the News.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change their reporting and they had to apologize and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
News.
And this might have to trickle into the next segment as well because there's just so much bad journalism out there. But I wanted to start by, I had talked a little bit earlier about how a lot of the foreign press are better than our own American press, and it's because they're not as dedicated to the wokeism and the virtue signaling. So this is from the Daily Mail, okay? See if you can spot the difference. This is the Daily Mail headline. President Biden, 78, hits the beach as the Pentagon admits it killed 7 kids in a drone strike. The French recall their ambassador. The FDA blows up his booster plans. And 12,000 Haitian migrants set up camp under a bridge in Texas. That hits the nail on the head, you know? This is Associate Press reporter Jonathan Lemire's tweet, all right? The Pentagon admitted its errant drone strike. COVID boosters did not get full approval. France recalled its ambassador. The punishing headlines, all within an hour, underscored the perils for a president from uncontrollable events that can define a term. Can I get a violin, please? Please, Jared, please. The perils for a president who through unforced errors and complete ineptitude caused all of these self-made problems. If only we hadn't pushed for this man who clearly is declining mentally to be the leader of the free world, maybe we could have avoided some of these uncontrollable events. We'll be right back with more bad journalism, and we're going to talk about what's happening in Del Rio, Texas.